I invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be in chapter 7 this morning, in verses 13 and 14. If you did not get a listening guide on the way in, I invite you to slip your hand up, and that will help you to follow along with this morning's sermon. We are continuing to hear from the Sermon on the Mount. This will actually be the last message on the Sermon on the Mount. Next week, we're going to continue to stay in the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be doing a few short parables on the kingdom of God, but today will be the last sermon in this series from the Sermon on the Mount. And just by way of reminder, this was an actual sermon that was preached by Jesus, recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew, and he taught us plainly that we need to seek first the kingdom of God. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. In our lives, we live in a world that's full of options about what to seek first. We have to make a choice about what is going to be most important to us, daily making a choice about what's going to be on the throne of our lives. And our own compass, our own moral compass, is bent away from God. We, on our own, have rejected God. We fall short of the glory of God and what the Bible calls sin. But the good news is that Christ came to bring God's kingdom near to us, that he lived and died for us to make it possible for us to enter the kingdom, and now he's teaching us how to live for his kingdom. So hopefully you're there, and I'll read. We have a short passage this morning, and I'll begin reading from verse 13, the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Amen. This is God's word. Let's pray to him and ask for his help in our time. Father, there truly is no one like you, Lord. There is no one else in heaven above. There is no one else who has created the earth below but you. Father, you are the one who sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, Lord, to give us the forgiveness of our sins and right relationship with you. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us your word to tell us the good news of the gospel, and Lord, to give us instruction about how to live for your kingdom. So Father, as we are waiting for the return of Christ, we are eager to feed on your word now. Please soften our hearts, Lord, that we might take it in and store it up in our hearts. Lord, teach us about the narrow gate and living on the path that is hard, that we would live with hearts and minds fixed upon the hope that awaits at the end, Father. So help us, change us in this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, this is a great passage of Scripture. It is direct, very straightforward, and to the point. And Jesus plainly says that we need to enter by the narrow gate, and we need to live on the path that is hard. We need to enter by the narrow gate and live on the path that is hard. This is pretty much the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Christ is basically saying it is time for decision as he is preaching this sermon here in the Gospel of Matthew. And he says there's two gates, there's two paths, and there are two groups of which to choose from, or two groups of which to be part of. And the one gate is wide. The wide gate leads to an easy path. It's one that has many people who are on it. And on the other hand, Jesus says the other gate is narrow. And that narrow gate leads to a path that is hard. And there are few people who enter through this narrow gate and live on this hard path. But Jesus is saying, look, these two options, these two sets of things to choose from, have two totally different outcomes. One leads to eternal life, and one leads to eternal destruction. Jesus spoke of heaven and of hell as being realities. The gospel, the word of God has explained to us that for those who believe in Jesus Christ and follow him, there is the gift of eternal life with God. But for those who do not follow Jesus Christ, for those who do not follow him, there awaits an eternal judgment. And God's word consistently says to us that he has laid before us the path to life and that we must be diligent to make sure that we're on it. God has given us faith in Jesus as the narrow gate that leads to life. Christ is the one who's opened the way into life for us. God is not asking of us something that we have to provide on our own. God has graciously provided all that we need in Jesus. The way to life has been opened by the perfect life of Jesus, by his dying in our place on the cross, and by his rising again. And Christ is preaching this in the Sermon on the Mount. And he's saying, therefore, now is the time to enter the kingdom of God. And for those of us who have entered, he is saying to his disciples, he's saying, now is the time for living on the hard path of discipleship. Since Christ has provided the way for us to richly enter the kingdom of God, now is the time to make that decision, to enter in and to live for God's kingdom. He's basically saying, it's a matter of life and death. Because what you're choosing now determines where you'll end up then. The kingdom of God matters more than we realize. And basically, he's saying, get the kingdom off the back burner, is how he's concluding this sermon. He's saying, enter the narrow gate and live on the path that's hard. And I'll show you this picture here. It's a picture of line cooks in a restaurant. For those of you who ever worked in a restaurant, you know what being a line cook is. And it made me think of my time. I worked in a restaurant for many years, and the head chef, his job is to get these guys, the line cooks, to focus on the entrees. They gotta make sure they're cooking the main dishes. There's a lot of parts of the great meal. You know, you got the drinks, the appetizers, the salads. You know, it seems like bad servers tend to just bring you everything at once. You know, you got one scoop of your soup, and then they're like, here's your dinner. And you're like, thanks, I'm not quite ready for that yet. But typically, your dinner rises or falls with the main courses. And as a server, the entrees are what made or broke, you know, make you or break you as you're trying to wait on the table. And I remember whenever the kitchen would fall behind, which depending on the restaurant I worked at, some kitchens always fail behind. And you're there in the restaurant, and your people are just staring a hole through you, and you're basically waiting, and you're like, man, where are my people's dinners? You know, where are their entrees? You know, I'm wondering when's dinner going to be served, you know? And I walk back in the kitchen, and 9 times out of 10, the reason why the line cooks fell behind on the main entrees is because they didn't start cooking them when the order came in. The head chef with the little tickets would print in every time an order came in, and the chef would call back to the line cooks and say, I need 3 steaks, you know, and 1 swordfish special. And the chefs were supposed to, or the line cooks were supposed to call back and say, I hear you, chef, got it. 3 steaks, 1 swordfish. And that's how the head chef knew things are going according to plan. This dinner is going to be ready when it needs to be ready. Now, by contrast, a lot of times a chef would call back, you know, I need 3 steaks, 1 swordfish special. And if the line cooks are messing around on their phone or they're in the back hall because they don't want to get in trouble for sending text messages, the chef knew if he doesn't hear the order called back to him that the cooks are not on track to having the dinner done on time. And the chef would have to call back. I worked in one restaurant. One chef had a PA system hooked up where he could yell through a microphone to his cooks. I'm like, man, this is too much like a reality TV show. This guy is just yelling back to his cooks. But basically, the chef would have to give a warning and call back and say, hey, get me off the back burner. When I call for the entrees, you need to call the order back to me and get with the program. And similarly, Jesus is preaching here on the Sermon on the Mount, and he is saying to us, you need to get the kingdom of God off the back burner in your life. He's saying, mind the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is a matter of life or death. And just like a cook in a restaurant, he hears the chef and he says, I hear you, chef. Following Jesus in our lives should look like us calling back to Christ and saying, I hear you, Lord. I hear you talking to me about your kingdom. I will enter by the narrow gate. I will live on the path that is hard. Otherwise, we're not staying true to what we know leads to eternal life. So to guide us into this, Jesus teaches us about 3 realities, 3 things to understand, and 3 things to apply to our lives. The first is that salvation is through a narrow gate. Eternal life, he says, salvation, it's through a narrow gate. Look at verse 13 and 14. We'll read these again. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. Why is he telling us to do that? He says, because the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So Jesus is saying, look, the gate that leads to life is narrow. And why, we're probably thinking at this point, well, why is the gate narrow? Why is the gate to life a narrow one? Well, the kind of life that Jesus is speaking to us about, the kind of life Jesus came to give you and I, is eternal life with God. It's life that comes from having a right relationship with God And when you have a right relationship with God, a right standing with him, then you are on the path to having eternal life with him. And the Apostle John wrote and said that this is the testimony. This is 1 John chapter 5. He said, this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So basically what we learn from the Word of God, there is not a variety of lives available to us. God's Word tells us there's not a variety of life available to us. God's made it clear eternal life is what we need. And the gate to life is narrow because this eternal life is only found in one place. This eternal life is only found in Jesus Christ. And furthermore, the gate to life is narrow because faith in Jesus Christ is a narrow thing. It is a specific thing to have faith in Jesus Christ. There's not a variety of ways to correctly believe in Jesus. That's why he says, enter by the narrow gate. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's fully God and fully man. He is our Savior from sin. Jesus is the Lord of all. He's teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount, and the crowds were astonished because Jesus taught them as one who had authority of his own. This is specific faith in Jesus, and people will say a lot of times, well, I don't need to believe in that version of Jesus, or I don't need the Lord Jesus Christ in that way in my life. Well, then that's not faith in Jesus. That's not the narrow gate that he's talking about. All right, that's just faith in ourselves. We're just choosing to go our own way. They're choosing to go against what Jesus says and to have a different kind of faith in our life. And you know, talking about restaurants, we tend to like buffet lines when we go out to eat. We love buffets because everybody can find something they like. You know, think about if we all piled out of here and went down to Golden Corral, we'd all walk in licking our chops and say, boy, what can I get ready to put the hurt on at Golden Corral? Maybe it'll be the chicken fingers. Maybe it will be the pot roast. I'm going to do some damage here, you know. You can start waving to the cooks in the back and say, you know, hey, get going on the steak. You know, I got an appetite. But, you know, you go to the buffet line and you want steak, great. You don't want steak, no problem. You can just have mac and cheese instead or fill up on whatever else you like. But at the buffet, the idea is you can take or leave things, and yet you can still have lunch. You can go into Golden Corral, you can eat some things, but not other things, but yet you can still have participated in lunch. That is not the way that faith in Jesus Christ works. Our world wants to take or leave things with Jesus. And perhaps you're here this morning and you're considering faith in Jesus Christ and you're wondering, what parts can I take of Jesus? What parts can I not take of Jesus? We have to take Jesus for who he says he is. And he's saying it is a narrow gate by which we enter through him into eternal life. A lot of times we might say, you know, this is important. We live in a world that says, I want God's love, but I don't want to worship God. I want forgiveness from God, but I don't want to go to the only Savior. I don't want to admit that I'm a sinner. If you don't want to admit that, then how can you be forgiven? Some want to give God part of their life, but not all parts of their life. And Jesus basically says that he is not available in varieties. He is a narrow gate. Life from God is not available in many places. And personally, this looks for us like admitting and understanding the reason why the way to life is a narrow gate is because the condition that we're sick with is a specific one, spiritually speaking. And this is the gospel. It's the bad news first, that we are spiritually dead. We're all spiritually dead in the same thing. That's what the Bible calls sin. It's our rejection of the worship of God, our rejection of obedience to God. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. The Bible's very plain about that. But God, in his mercy, has sent his Son Jesus to save us. This is the good news of the gospel, that when Christ was about to be born, God told Mary and Joseph, they said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from what? He will save his people from their sins. Jesus has come to give a very specific kind of life to us. It's not one of riches in this world. It's not one of making everything easy here in this life. He said, don't worry about the things of this life. Seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus has come to save you and I from our sins. He's not a buffet line for many different kinds of tastes. So life is available through faith in Jesus. It's one size for all. And the call of the gospel is we must fit into that size. We have to fit into the door that is Jesus. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, well, how do I get through the narrow gate? that is Jesus Christ. How do I find eternal life to him? Well, it starts with admitting that we need saving for what Jesus came to save us from, that we need forgiveness of our sins. And it looks like turning from sin and self and the narrow thing of trusting in Jesus' sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins. Some of you guys know me. You know that I used to, you knew that I grew up Roman Catholic. I used to light candles to Mary. I used to light candles to the saints and offer prayers and try to get myself cleaned up with the Lord until somebody told me and helped me understand, you can't get yourself cleaned up with God. Jesus is the only one who can be a sufficient sacrifice in your place. God's not asking for your works. You can't clean yourself up enough. He's asking for your faith in what Jesus did for you. Will you turn from trying to save yourself and place your faith in Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross? When you do that and have that narrow, that specific faith in Christ, God says you will be forgiven because of Christ's work. And it's a narrow faith of saying, I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus as Lord. I'm not going to call the shots anymore, but I'm going to submit to his will for my life. And you will have the gates of heaven open to you by entering through the narrow gate of Christ. And here's the good news. It's a narrow way in, but once we enter through the narrow gate of Christ, what we find on the other side is a salvation that is wide in its sufficiency. So I'm going to speak now to those of us who have entered the narrow gate. We have found forgiveness like we've never had before. It is a narrow gate that we've entered through, but it is a forgiveness that is a whole ocean of mercy, one that is wider than we've ever found. We have freedom from sin's power like we've never found before. We don't have to be enslaved to the sins that we were once a slave to before. There is nothing, I have found nothing like this. And there's no self-help book, no self-help book compares to the Spirit of God living within us, helping us to be obedient to God's word. We have a hope like no other, that we are not always going to deal with the same suffering that we're dealing with right now. Eventually, we're going to be set free, not just from the struggle against our sin, but from other sins that are done against us by others. We are not going to struggle forever. We're going to be set free from a fallen world. We're going to have a resurrection, a new and eternal life. So a lot of people look at us, look at Christianity and say, what a funny bunch of people. Such a narrow faith, such a specific Savior. And we say, no, we say, what a perfect Savior. I found such a sufficient salvation. And so we look at this text and, by contrast, the gate that's wide and the way that's easy is one that leads to destruction. And Jesus says many people are on that. That's because the wide gate, it allows for everything to fit in. Everything you want to trust in can fit through the wide gate. Every way you want to live fits on the wide road. And the gate is wide and the way is easy, but that one leads to eternal destruction. And if you're sliding down a mountainside and you're headed toward a cliff, it would be easy to not change anything and say, it's just more comfortable for me to just keep sliding the way that I'm going until you eventually slide right off the cliff. It would make sense for you that if somebody reached out their hand and said, turn, change your course, and you will be saved, that you would do that. So looking at this passage, firstly, salvation through a narrow gate, it's just applying first off, have you entered through that narrow gate? Will you give up, if you have not entered through the narrow gate, will you give up a false view of yourself? It's not about what other people are thinking about you. This is about you and the Lord. Will you give up a false view of yourself and admit, you know what, I need the forgiveness that only Jesus Christ can give me? Will you give up faith in works and your own efforts at being right with God? And will you trust in Jesus's work? Will you turn from a life of keeping God shut out and let the Lord Jesus come into your life? And change what your outcome is, and change what you're headed for. He can save anyone. And Jesus is saying, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God if you have yet to believe in Christ. And for us as believers, there's application here for us still to hold on to our narrow faith, to hold on to our specific faith. Some of you guys maybe remember the old hymn, I Drive My Wife Crazy. I play it back in my office, and she heard all these old songs growing up that she just doesn't want to hear them anymore. But I love the song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And if we trade away our specific faith, we will trade away a sufficient hope. So let me ask you this morning, when you need rescuing from life's difficulties, when you face challenges in your life, where are you turning? Are you turning to substitute saviors? Or where might you be doing that to fill the void? Do you turn to other things to help you cope? And listen, if you're here this morning and you find yourself sinking in the sands of specific trials that are pressing you hard, or difficulties that you face as you try to follow Jesus Christ, or maybe this specific temptations, struggle, maybe you're struggling against certain sins that seem better than following the Lord. Maybe you're just struggling with God's timing, that you're having to endure something. You're having to be faithful even when you're not seeing the reward of it as you're waiting for God's plan to unfold. In the midst of that, you need to remember your specific faith, it's in Jesus, that your hope is found in Jesus. You're standing on the rock of Christ. And instead of widening your search for other things, when times are difficult, when following the Lord is difficult, instead of widening your search and trying to find your hope in other things, remember that you've found your hope through the narrow gate of Jesus Christ, that all other ground is sinking sand. And no matter what waves are crashing upon your life, no matter what waves are hitting the boat of your life and splashing onto the deck, your anchor holds in Jesus Christ. You have entered into a wide and sufficient salvation in Jesus. And you have a wide hope in him. And before moving on to second truth, and don't worry, these other truths are shorter. If the gospel is narrow for us, we need to make sure that we are making a narrow call to others. Everybody wants to be healthy. When you talk with people, everybody talks about their health. Nobody wishes to be ill or says, yeah, my knee hurts, my elbow hurts, I'm not quite like I used to be, but I'm glad this way. Everybody wants to be healthy, right? But here's the deal. Not everybody wants to go to the doctor. Any nurse or doctor you talk to, you know, will probably tell you they've had cases where people have come in and they have waited too long to come to the doctor. And you said, well, why didn't you come in sooner? And more often than not, it's that people just didn't want to change, right? Everybody wants to be healthy, but not everyone wants to go to the doctor. And the same is true in life. Everybody wants to find what they've been looking for. Bono sings, you know, I still haven't found what I'm looking for, the old U2 song. But we have to give people a narrow call, point them in the narrow direction of Jesus. So look, it's tempting to widen the gate. It's tempting in the counsel that we give, in the comfort that we give to others, in our friends, in our family, people who are looking to us for help, and our loved ones who need our help. It is tempting to widen the gate and just say that there is all kinds of help available to them and all kinds of things. But what will the result be if we don't tell people that ultimately spiritual help is through the narrow gate of Jesus? The goal is not to make Jesus fit people. The goal is to make the people in our lives fit into Jesus. And we have to give a narrow call to others, talking about the cross of Christ, talking about repentance from sin. And if we're not bold enough to tell people what needs to change, they're never going to figure it out on their own. So God has told us to talk about the narrow gate that leads to life. Secondly, not only is salvation through a narrow gate, but Jesus teaches that discipleship is down a hard path. Discipleship is down a hard path. Look at verse 13 and 14 again. Jesus says, "The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many." And then he says, "The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." So just like the gate that leads to life is necessarily narrow, Jesus says the path that leads to life is necessarily hard. The gate that we've entered into has set us on a path of which to walk on. And so just like there's not multiple ways to be saved, Jesus is saying there are not multiple ways to live our Christian life. You know, in video games, my wife got me an old Super Nintendo for Christmas. It's great. It's got like all the old 20 or 25 games I used to play as a kid growing up, and they all got different difficulty settings, you know, and you start the video game off and you're like, I'm feeling pretty good. I bumped the level up pretty hard, you know, and the computer, basically beats you over and over and you're getting frustrated. You restart the game and you turn the difficulty level down to medium, and before you know it, you got it on easy mode and you're like, ha ha, now I'm finally winning at this game, you know. Video games come with different levels of difficulty. You can change the setting on those games. You can make things easier. But Jesus is saying, there's no Christianity light. It is a hard path. Discipleship, following Jesus, becoming a follower, living like a follower of him, it's not easy. It's a hard path. If you want the easy path, you need to see the outcome of the easy path. It's one that leads to destruction. The hard path is the one that leads to life. He's basically saying, he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. You know, blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. Blessed are you if you'll show mercy to others, because God will show you mercy. These are not easy things to choose to live by in your life. If you want to live the kingdom life, you will get a difficult life. And the Greek word used for hard, when Jesus says the gate is narrow and the way is hard, it's the same word that refers to tribulation and persecution and opposition. Jesus says that following him will bring difficulty in your life. It will be hard to follow Jesus. This is the word that refers to difficulties with the faith. Paul says in Acts chapter 14, Paul was strengthening the souls of the disciples, as Luke wrote. He's recording what Paul was doing. And he says that Paul was encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations, it's the same Greek word for hard. He says, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So what's hard about following Jesus? Jesus is saying, when he says the way is hard, which leads to life, he's not talking about the hard things of life in general. Jesus is not talking about the hard things that's hard for everybody. Jesus is talking about the hard things of faith. So let's talk for a minute this morning. What do we mean by the hard things of faith? Well, first off, work is hard for everybody. We could all talk to each other about our work. It is difficult. Our health fails for everybody. None of us is going to live forever. That is a hard thing of life in general. Relationships take work. Raising our children, having healthy marriages, workplace relationships, they all take work. Cars break down for everybody. Right, one of the things my dad told me growing up is what Ford stands for. I had a Ford Mercury Tracer growing up. I feel like I was always working on that thing. My dad said Ford stands for fix or repair daily, right? Cars break down for everybody. And here's the deal. Followers of Jesus Christ will endure the same things on earth as unbelievers will. People who follow Jesus will endure all the same difficulties in life that those who do not follow Jesus will experience. Our lot in life will not be any different when it comes to earthly matters. The difference for followers of Jesus is that they're supposed to surrender to the Lord and live on the hard path of faith. It's not dealing with difficulties of life in general. It's the hard path of living out faith in Jesus. So what's supposed to mark us as believers is not the external circumstances of our lives. It should be the internal response of our faith to all the difficulties that life brings. People shouldn't look on the outside and say, well, is God blessing you? People should look on the inside and say, well, are you being blessed in that you have faith and that you're living on a different path? It's entirely possible to have difficulties in life, but to avoid the difficulties of faith, of living everything that we've talked about in the past weeks. So when health is failing, it means that we do the hard thing of faith, trusting in God's love, trusting in God's care, that eternal life is really where our hope is found. When our relationships require work, when it's difficult, we do the hard thing of submitting to God's commands, of doing what God says we should do, of handling our lives in the way we should handle our lives. When we're persecuted, when we face opposition for our faith, when we stand up for what is true and just and righteous, and others are trying to just shout you down, the hard thing is standing firm in your faith. When we love our enemies, we choose to treat people right who treat us wrong. That is the hard life of faith. Discipleship is down a hard path. And so living as a follower of Jesus, it's not a problem to be solved. It's a challenge that is to be endured. And so hear the encouragement this morning, but also the challenge this morning, that if you're wishing for the wide gate and the easy way to fit into the Christian life, it's not going to fit. The wide gate and the easy road leads to destruction. We can't fit worldliness into Christianity. It's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. And if we set our hope in the life that is to come, we will find relief. We will know that though I am living on the hard path, I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. So, if you belong to Jesus, you should desire to follow Jesus. You should want to walk on the hard path. Just ask first off, do you want to walk on the hard path or not? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 that speaking of his Christian life, he said not that he was already perfect, he was working on his obedience to Christ, but he said he pressed on to make it his own because Christ Jesus had made him his own. It's not walking the hard path of faith that saves you. We already talked about that. We're saved by grace through faith. Salvation is a gift that we receive by faith. But if you have received that gift, you will walk on the hard path. It will be evidence of the fact that you have saving faith. So, has Christ taken hold of you? Has he made you his own? Part of my role as a pastor is to be honest with the Word of God. If you have no desire to walk on the hard path, the concern would be, well, do you understand that Christ is a Savior? Do you understand what he came to save you out of? And I would urge you again, be reconciled to God. If you enter through the narrow gate, you will want to live on the hard path. And he will not only save you, but give you his Spirit to help you do this. But then, as followers of Christ, it's good to be reminded Christ has taken hold of us. He's put his Spirit within us. So if your Christian life is difficult, take heart. You're doing it right. If you find following Jesus is difficult, you are doing it right, is what this encouragement is. You are on the path that leads to life. If your Christian life is not hard, if it's not taking faith for you to live out following Jesus, then you're doing it wrong, is basically what this passage says. If it's a wide road, if it's an easy path that you find yourself on, you're not living out your faith, basically. And this is it's a convicting passage. And I had to look at my life and say, we have to look and say, what's happening to us in trials? When we face difficulty, are we doing the hard things of holding fast to our faith? When we're persecuted for our faith, am I standing firm? Am I living for kingdom blessings rather than earthly blessings? Am I choosing what's easy in the moment or staying on the path that is hard? I think the way this applied to me, oftentimes when I'm living on the hard road of faith, it's easy for me to fear and be anxious about the difficulties of faith, how hard it is to obey God's commands and be faithful when it's difficult to seek first the kingdom of God. I understood that this passage is saying rather than being fearful, I need to have confidence in living out the path that is hard, having confidence that you're on the right road when you're obeying the word of God. So some things about our faith are just not going to be easy. But just because it's not easy doesn't mean that we shouldn't obey. Is basically the command of the scripture. We can't treasure Jesus as our Savior, the one who died for our sins, while at the same time treasuring the sins that he died for. Jesus said, no, I've come to save you from that and to put you on the hard path of having changed desires. So if the hardness of our faith is not a problem to be solved, we're going to have to set our eyes on the final outcome. You don't get up in the morning for a hard day's work without eating anything. Or if you do, you're snacking and you're eating all kinds of candy and stuff out of the vending machine later on in the workday. You wouldn't set out for a hard day's work without filling up on a full meal. And similarly, in the Christian life, it's a hard path to obey God's word. And it's foolish to only fill up once on Sunday and try to live as a follower of Christ all week long without setting aside time to take in the word of God and to pray to God and to think about how to obey. And so this means we have to be in the Word regularly. It means praying to God regularly. It looks like getting other people around us and in our lives, helping us to see, okay, the path of Christian life is hard. I need other people in my life helping me to live out my faith. And for those of us who are already doing that, we should say, the path is hard. I've got people helping me on the path. Who can I go to? Who is struggling on the hard path of the Christian faith? I see them. I care about them. They've professed faith in Jesus, but I see them struggling out there. Who can I go to and help them and say, look, keep your eyes up. Look on the outcome of the hard path that you're on. It's one that leads to life.
You're not just supposed to say, all right, got my ducks in a row. I'm on the hard road. Good luck, everybody else. You know what I mean? I'm not driving a Ford anymore. You know, I got a great car. You should go help other people, if you will, and help them be patient with one another and be servants of one another on the path that's hard. And we can consider all that we're gaining by being on it, all that God is sparing us from, and we can give thanks to God for the hard path. So in closing this morning, Jesus has said it's a narrow door, it's a hard path. And finally, he's really saying the kingdom of God is an urgent matter. That's our final truth this morning. The kingdom of God is an urgent matter. It's urgent because many have entered through the wide gate, is what our eyes are open to here. Many are living on the way that is easy. And that means that many are headed for the outcome of destruction, of eternal judgment. And I think we get this confused in our thinking. We want to have wishful thinking about this. We want to think that, no, many people have entered the narrow gate. Many people have a specific faith in Jesus, in his life, death, and resurrection for them. We want to think that, oh yeah, many people are on the path that's hard, or that people who are lost are actually just few in number. We want to think the way to life is pretty easy to find, or people will just sort of fall into it. We want to think everybody just basically makes it. But this passage is challenging because the opposite could not be more true. Everybody does not basically make it. What people are basically doing is walking right on by the narrow gate, and they're seeking to avoid the hard life of faith. We have been given the grace of God through Jesus. We know of God's mercy and love for us. And part of God's will, part of his plan, is that we go be unashamed witnesses of what we sing in here, that behold our God seated on his throne, and we sing, nothing can compare. God's will for our life is to go unashamedly saying exactly who God is, that he is our God, Jesus Christ is the Savior, and nothing can compare with him. God wants us to go declare this message to others. Oftentimes we're loving other people, we're trying to lead others to Christ, and a lot of times folks will say, well, I consider thinking more about Jesus, I hear that he's the only Savior, or you know, but I'm just so busy keeping up with the day-to-day. Or I'm taking care of this, and I'm taking care of that, and once I get this in order, and maybe after I get this in order, then I'll consider Jesus. And what people are really saying is they don't want to enter the narrow gate, and they don't want to live on the path that is hard. And we should lovingly go to those people. They expect to hear from us, oh, well, that makes sense. You've got a lot going on right now. Maybe when you get other things taken care of, then you can follow Jesus. That's what people expect to hear from us. But what they need to hear from us is, no, that doesn't make sense. You've entered through the wrong gate. You're on the wrong path. Jesus is the answer that you're looking for. Salvation is not a piece of cake. Jesus is the only one who can save you. Following Christ is not something that you can just relatively do with ease. It's a hard path to live on. You need to be following Christ. You need other believers in your life to help you follow it. Your life has to change if you want to live on the hard path of following Christ. So Jesus understood this with great clarity. He preached to people with great clarity. And many different people came to Jesus on the mountainside that day. People came with physical needs. They came with spiritual need. They came with their grief. They came with unfulfillment. They came with difficult issues in their own life as they came to Christ and hearing the Sermon on the Mount. They came to Jesus because of difficult issues in their loved ones' lives, trying to figure out, how can I help the people in my life? A variety of people came to Jesus, and he preached the Sermon on the Mount to them. He preached to them that the kingdom of God is what you're looking for. He didn't change his message. He didn't cater to a different kind of desire for an earthly kingdom. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate and live on the path that is hard. That gospel message is what every person needs to hear. It's what people are waiting to hear, and we're tempted to doubt that that's not going to change people's lives. But I heard it in a good sermon. I heard from a pastor who I really respect, he said this, that the confidence of heaven is in the word of God. Heaven, God the Father is trusting his word to do his work. And I think we're just waiting to see what will happen if we will go more faithfully to the people in our lives and say, enter by the narrow gate of faith in Jesus. Live on the path that is hard, and the outcome of your life will change. That is our hope, and no one can take it away from us. We're on Christ the solid rock because we've put our faith in him. So let's preach this gospel to others. Let's live on the hard path so that others can see the difference that only Jesus can make by his life, death, and resurrection, and the hope that's awaiting us. Our lives will become a sermon to others that says, enter by the narrow gate and live on the path that's hard. So pray with me, and let's give thanks to the Lord for his son, Jesus Christ, and ask for his help living this out. Father, we thank you that you are perfect and you're righteous in all your ways, Lord. We think of the 23rd Psalm, Lord, in which you say that you lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Father, thank you that not for anything of our own deservingness or not of any of our own righteousness, Lord, but because of your own desire to save us, you've sent Jesus to die for our sin and to open the way to eternal life for us. Father, we thank you for how you've brought us to faith in your son, Jesus Christ. You have led us into righteousness for the sake of your name and for the sake of your glory, Father. And we thank you for the hard path upon which you've placed us. Lord, thank you for the encouragement of your word that has helped us this morning to not be discouraged by how hard the path of faith is, Lord, but encouraged because this is exactly what we need to be doing. So, Father, we pray that you would quicken our hearts for obedience to your word. God, give us boldness and help us not to be ashamed of declaring this message to others, telling them to enter by the narrow gate, that Jesus really is the answer they're looking for. And help us to rejoice when people receive that truth, Father. And if people mock us or persecute us for that, Lord, help us to know that's just part of what we've bought into, Father, part of the hard road. And give us your peace and the peace from your spirit within us, Lord, to comfort us as we go. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.